The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, or you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now let's listen to Sheikh Salim Bimji.
So, coming back to the topic of how do we create and how do we ourselves be able to, you know, become believers that our identity, we're not embarrassed or ashamed of being Muslim, that we're not embarrassed to say my name is Muhammad or Ali, that we don't have to change it to some Western name, or that our sisters can be proud of their hijab, they can maintain their identity. Before I go to some of the points, you know, there's a verse of the Quran I want to kind of draw inspiration from for this topic, which is found in chapter number 41, which is Surah Fussilat, also known as Surah Hamim, verse number 33. And it might not seem to be relevant, but let me mention the verse, the translation, and just some of the opinions of our commentators of what the verse may mean. So in this verse, chapter 41, verse 33, Allah says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَأَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Allah says, and who is better in speech than one who invites to God, who does righteous actions, and says, indeed, I am of the Muslims. I am one of the believers. Now, the verse, if you look at the Arabic and sometimes in the translation, it might be blurred, but Allah starts with a question. What Allah is doing, and He does this many times, it's a device in grammar, in Arabic grammar it's used, in English grammar we use this kind of a mechanism where we use what is called a question, but it is a rhetorical question. We know the answer, but we want to get the person that we are speaking to think. So Allah uses this multiple times in the Quran. He'll use a rhetorical question. It's not that He doesn't know who is better in speech, where He says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ, who is better? No, but He is getting you and I to think and to recognize that this is a method that God uses to emphasize a topic. So He says that who is better than those people who, as He says, are those who call towards Allah, who do righteous actions, and they proclaim that they are of the believers. So scholars of the Tafsir of Quran tell us that there are four points that Allah is drawing our attention to in this verse. One is that Allah is talking about iman, about faith, being something which is found in the heart. And this is a common thread within the hadith, that iman is something which is nurtured in the heart, in the spiritual heart of a believer, right? But that nurturing of iman in the heart, it has to then materialize on the outside. And that's where they tell us in the hadith that the second level, or the level after iman, in that inner belief, is where we practice what we believe. So a believer would be one who follows the tenets of the religion. And this is where, just as a side note, we see a difference between Islam and Iman. Right? Islam is to say this testimony, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And to add to that, to the testimony of Amir al-Mu'mineen as being the commander of the faithful and the successor to the Prophet, that's just the lip service. That's just the first level of Islam. And then Allah tells us, or the hadith rather tell us, that the level higher than that is iman, is true faith, where we begin to practice what we believe. But this verse combines faith and then belief. But then there are two other points. The third is that, as Allah says, that those who call towards Allah, those who invite other people to Allah. Now, commentators of the Quran are quick to mention that, obviously, primarily, this verse is about Rasulullah because he had the obligation to be a muballigh, to convey, to teach Islam to the masses. Obviously, at the secondary level, it is the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them. And then from there, you have the ulama, the scholars, then you have the muballighin, the local preachers and individuals who are engaged in propagation. Sometimes propagation may not be something that all of us can engage in, because it means that we need to have a firm understanding of religion. We might know a few things, and that's great, and at least what we do know, we should be able to convey to people. You know, for example, this tragedy of Karbala that we're commemorating, maybe your neighbors might ask you, where are you going every night? We see you and your family leaving the house. You're wearing black. Where is there a funeral tonight? And, you know, at least the basic minimum we should know, you know. And let me share with you a story, something that happened, again, to myself, is when I used to work in the corporate sector. I remember one day I was leaving work and I had a hoodie on that said, "Ya Hussein," in black letters on the back in Arabic. So I'm leaving work. I go through the metal detectors to the security. And the security at the company, he was an elderly man, probably in his 60s or 70s, a Caucasian, presumably Christian. He stopped me and he says, "Can I ask you a question?" So I said, "Go ahead. It's a free country. You can ask what you want." He says, "What does it say on the back of your hoodie?" I said, "It says, O Hussein, and it's written in Arabic." So then he said, "Who is Hussein?" Right? The same, you know, question that people ask in the same organization, "Who is Hussein?" This elderly man says, "Well, who is Hussein?" So I said to him, I said, "He is one of the grandchildren of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad." He said to me, "You said that your prophet, that you said that he is one of the grandsons, one of the grandchildren of your prophet. How many grandchildren did your prophet have?" So I said, "Well, he had two boys and two girls that survived. There was one that was killed it was a miscarriage that his daughter had." He says, "What makes this grandson Hussein so important that your hoodie has his name on it, but not the other grandchildren?" So I began to spark a discussion with this elderly man. I said to him, I said, "How much time do you have? We can sit and discuss." He said, "Well, I'm here till midnight, so let's sit and talk." So we went aside, and for maybe 5 or 7 or 10 minutes at most, I told him the story of Karbala. Not the whole detail, just a few of the snippets of what happened to Imam Hussein, how he was deprived and his family were deprived of food and water, how the attack launched with 30,000 people against an army of, not even an army, a group of people of 100 or so. I told him about how his 6-month-old child was killed, how his head was severed. I told him some of the details. This is, and by God as my witness, this man began to cry right there, where we were standing. Not Muslim, probably never heard about Islam or Imam Hussein, had no idea about Karbala. But because I had a little bit of knowledge about Karbala and the event and the story, I shared it with him in 5 minutes and he was broken down to tears. Right? We can make a change, brothers and sisters. We can change the world that we live in. We think it's hard to make these changes, but it doesn't mean that I have to go on, you know, CNN or CBC and give a whole lecture and have millions of people watch it. No, change your neighbor, your coworker, a friend at school, a stranger walking down the street. It begins with one person, and that one person goes to 2 to 4 to 8, and it grows exponentially. Islam didn't grow by the Prophet giving a lecture and millions of people heard him. No, it was one person, two people. It was Amir al-Mu'mineen and Umm al-Mu'mineen Khadija, peace be upon both of them. Three people start Islam. And then it grows to the companions one by one in Mecca and Medina. And we have that potential too, brothers and sisters. When we develop that Islamic character and the personality and we are proud of our Islam, we can be that change that we expect to see in the world.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Adi Alimun Hali Hakimun Mati شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.